Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This week, I'm talking to Loveth. We talk about the pressures put on parents of school children and how exhausting it can be. How to support children who are prolific artists and would fill the house with paper. And what the special and unique first year as a new home educator is really like. And now, on with the interview. This week on the podcast, I get to speak to Loveth. Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, Katie. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Right, first question. Tell me a bit about your family.
All right. We're a family of four. I've got a twin boy and girl, and they're 7 years old at the moment. They turned seven last month. We are British, but of African descent. To be specific, we're Nigerians. And yeah, that's us really.
Excellent. And how did you start home educating?
Oh my goodness. It's been nearly a year. We started actually last year, July. We started home educating because, you know, we just wanted to do it and we thought, why not go for it? You know, we've just been scared. I'd been scared really. It took me 2 years to take the plunge. But yeah, we did it last year finally.
Did you want to do it before then? I mean, was it something that you knew about and just thought, oh, it's not for me, or like I'd like to do it but I'm never going to do it kind of thing?
Absolutely, yes. Before I had kids, I always wanted to home educate because I did early years at uni. Oh. And I knew the benefit of them going to school starting later and they do better, so I knew all the pros to, you know, not rushing and just taking your time. But I was just too nervous. I didn't know anyone else doing it, so I just put them in school for reception in year one.
Yeah. Because it's, yeah, what everyone does, and so you
exactly.
So what changed for you?
I think when they started going to school, especially in year one, everything I thought about school was reinforced, and not all good, unfortunately. The first thing, they were rushing them, I think, especially with maths, you know, fundamental maths. They were rushing them through it. And I just thought, what's the rush? And I think these are skills they need for life. So they should take their time to learn it, especially like multiplication, addition, subtraction. Yeah. And they were just breezing through it. And I was just thinking, this is a lot of pressure for a little person. So, yeah, that's why, to be honest with you. And that's one of the many reasons.
Yes, I was reading, you have a free ebook on your website, which we'll talk about later on.
Yep.
And one of the things I really liked was just like some of the practical things. Like, I think often we think we have to have these like really big kind of lofty reasons, but like,
yeah,
being stuck in traffic,
like,
just having to do that kind of that rush and keeping up with all of the things at school, like you were saying about, you know, like crazy hair day and whatever.
I couldn't keep up. I was just that mum that was like, oh, what's happening tomorrow? Or someone would be like, love it, don't forget it's this tomorrow, because it was, I just couldn't keep up. It was like trying to keep my head above water, and I was thinking there's a lot of pressure and it can get really expensive with the costume as well. Oh, so it was just one of those things. And we moved from Colchester to Kent, and we have a school really close by. They didn't have any space for them because they're twins. They needed two space in 1 year.
Yeah.
So I had to go all the way, you know, to another town to take them to school. If journey that should take 15 minutes used to take just nightmare. It was a nightmare. That's just, like I said, one of many reasons. And I just think, why all this pressure on parents, not just the children, on parents as well? And it's exhausting. It can be exhausting. I'm just not that mom.
Well, it's just there's lots of rush, isn't there? There's lots of rush.
Yes.
And then waiting around, and it's like, yeah, I know when my eldest would have started, I would have had a toddler and a baby.
Oh gosh. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and part of it was like, I don't want to have to rush everybody out the house at,
yeah,
like 8:15 in the morning or whatever. Like, even though the school would have been quite close by, it's like, no. I would rather have a slower morning where everybody can surface properly.
Yeah. Exactly. And also, I remember when they went into reception, I said to my husband, I said, they're all so little. I feel like they should be home, like cuddling mom and dad or something. It was just so, they're just so small at reception. They're tiny, they're babies. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, 4.5.
Yes.
They're tiny.
They are just coming out of nappies.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are.
Yes.
So what do you love about home education?
Oh, goodness. It's the flexibility is amazing. I like that you can take your time. Like, every child is different. It's not one shoe, you know, fits all sort of thing. You can really take your time with one child if they need extra time to learn something. And if another one is quick and they want to move ahead, you can just go ahead and do that. So comparing home education to school, where they have 30 to one teacher, I'm sure they're getting more. You know, so it's their own pace, their learning. Also, I get to follow what they're interested in and answer their question. I used to do that before, but it wasn't enough time. They were just exhausted after school. Yeah. You know, sometimes you don't have enough time to think, think about what you want to do or what you enjoy doing. So home education just gives us a lot of flexibility, and we get to teach them what we want to teach them as well, and what they want to learn, and things that I feel that are life skills rather than things that you may never actually use in real life. So, yes, that's why I love home education. You get to meet amazing people, like-minded people, and obviously everyone does it differently, but sometimes the fundamentals are quite similar while we're doing it, you know? So, yeah, I love the flexibility. I love all the beauty. You know, it has its ups and downs, but I love that about homeschooling. No, home education.
Yeah, totally. Well, the thing about ups and downs, like, what's the hardest part?
Oh, goodness me. Sometimes I can't keep up with the marking. Sometimes trying to stay organized, because you get paid. My daughter draws all the time. Like, yeah. I'm like, I had to put a rule, like, just limit your paper to like 2 or 3 a day, because we've got a big whiteboard. Use that instead, or I'll make her little books where I just staple paper together just to try and confine it. It's just trying to stay organized, for not just for me but for the local authorities, because they come about once a year to have a look at what they're doing, you know, evidence of what they're doing. So trying to stay organized. Another challenge for me, unfortunately, I do have a health problem that winter can impact. So winter for me can be a challenge. So we do a lot of outdoor activities spring, autumn and summer, but in winter we sort of slow down a lot. But I do other activities like going to the library, so it's still indoor but just not our house. We go to the museum, that sort of indoor activities, instead of, you know, football and this, that and the other. That's a lot of, there's some con to home education. Another thing is trying to keep the house is just never tidy. Just when you come to my house, be prepared to see paper, marker, crayon, something. Cushions,
it's just
books.
Impossible because everybody's there. Like, even if you go out and about and you're doing whatever, still have a lot more time at home.
Absolutely.
And you can't keep the house tidy. Educators don't have tidy houses.
That's why, like, you have to really just know me and just take me for who I am before you come to my house. If you're expecting, you know, it's like semi okay, but it's not like everyone else who goes to work and kids go to school and it has not been used as often. Mine is, like I said, my dining room is / classroom. We've always got paper, markers, books, all sorts. And then the living room is, very interesting setup, really. I love that, though. It just is a lived-in house.
Yeah, it's a house that's being used.
Definitely. If our dining table could talk, oh my goodness.
So what's the typical day in the life? Or is there one?
I was going to say, there isn't a typical, I'll give you an outline of it, but the activities are very varied. So after breakfast, they will usually do some sort of maths and English. Except I want to teach them something really specific in English, like maybe homophones or something like that. They will usually do a workbook, that sort of thing. And for maths, the same thing, except they're struggling with something that we need to repeat or whatever. But they have a workbook or worksheet that I plan ahead for them to do. So that's just a typical morning. After breakfast, they do that for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, if that. They have a snack and they usually do independent work. This is when my daughter gets carried away. She writes books, makes her own books, writes stories, draws. My son does his own thing as well. So they go off and be creative, do what they want to do. And if they want to learn about something, a project, we can do that. That's their own work, their own time. And after that, we usually tend to go out and do something. So we either meet up with other home eds, library, museum, that sort of thing. So we do an outdoor activity. Even if I can't go out, literally can't go out, they go in the garden or something like that. Yes. After that, we come home, sort of tidy up, try and cook if I have any energy left. What? And then they have quiet time. This is where they read. I'm grateful that one thing school was sort of good for was helping us get into a reading routine anyway. So they can read independently, have a quiet time. And if I have any template of book reviews left, I have them from Twinkle. I get them to do a book review. Yeah. Or they can tell me about it, depending. Or their book review varies. You know, they have many forms of book review, but they read it daily. It sounds all good. Sometimes it can be chaotic. Sometimes reading time does not sound all lovely. Sometimes I'm like, go read your book. Try not to get a lazy book. Any lazy book, especially my son, because they have books that they've loved from when they were really young, and he tries for going for that one. I'm like, no, one of the ones from the library, please.
Otherwise, they just recite what they already know because they've read it a million times. Yeah,
and it's a quick read. You know, the ones we get from the library are more suitable for their stage and stuff. But the ones they have upstairs in their bedrooms is more like what they just love and refuse to get rid of, basically. So, so it's not always like calm, cool and collected. Sometimes it's like, okay, read whatever you want to read, just read. You know, I'm going to ask you about it later. So that's what a typical day looks like. So that going up might be to the library, museum, swimming or garden. And we always do maths and English every day. And sometimes daddy helps. So sometimes it's not always me. And the days I'm super organized, I prepare their work the night before. And as soon as they have breakfast is already on the table, they do it. That's not every day. I wish it was.
It's always nice when you can kind of get a head start, but sometimes you just got to do what you can do, really.
Life happens, yeah.
Definitely. So what's going on for home educators in your area?
Oh, wow. You know what? A lot goes on here. And when I started home educating, I was trying to do everything. I was like, ah! So they have football on Wednesday mornings. And at the time I started as well, Wednesday, another group at the same time was the library group. So I used to alternate it. That's Tuesday. So Wednesday is football. Yeah. On the Tuesday, they have a Dells group, like a play arts and craft group.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when we also have a library group, which was really similar times. And I used to alternate those. That was on a Tuesday. And they have arts group every fortnight. I went only twice. It can get expensive as well. So
yeah,
it does add up. But that was really fun though. I was they do really cool art, like, you know, screen printing on shirts, that sort of thing, you know. So it's really cool art, not just the sort of art we do at home. And they have trampoline group. I've never been to that one. I am on the Facebook group, but I've actually never been to it. And the museum group is one of the coolest thing ever. We have a local museum not too far from us. There's a guy that works there. He has a group for home educators and kids, and it's from 3 to 4. He brings out all the artifacts and talks about something for an hour, and I'm learning. I look forward to going, not just the kids. We've talked about Anglo-Saxons, rivers, castles and catapults, that sort of thing. I absolutely look forward. Actually, my husband came with one of the groups at the museum. He loved it. It was really, really good. So those are the sort of things we do. And also, because we're Christians, we go to church, so there's a lot of things going on there as well, especially during the school holidays. For the young moms, have a club where the kids go bowling, all sorts, lots of social skills, a bit too much.
It's always the way, isn't it? It's a balance between, like, I find, like, where we are, it's a balance between, like, as you say at the beginning, you want to do everything because you can, and there'll be other people there, and they're sort of like you, and it would be great. And eventually you have to kind of balance. Slow down a bit. Yeah. What can you fit in? Like, what can you afford?
And find your rhythm as well.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of nice to try everything and see what you like and don't like, and then find your own, what works for your family and your budget. Because like I said, like, I love the museum group, not just because it's free, but because I couldn't teach that sort of history the way he's doing it. It comes alive and they can retain more. It's just very creative. So I think also seeing how it impacts the children and if they enjoy it and that sort of thing.
Totally. So have you got any resource recommendations?
Oh, yes. The thing about homeschool, like I said, is trying to find what works for you because everyone does it really differently, which is really cool. It makes it really interesting. But for me, because I'm a bit more, I don't know if they will ever go back to school or not, I'm trying to keep up with the, I don't do like national curriculum with everything, but with maths and English, I do try and stay on top of what's sort of going on in school. We use a lot of like the bond books, the workbooks for maths and English. But the thing is, I get them to take their time. If you're saying 5 to 6, 6 to 7, I don't really care about the age. I'm thinking, do you understand it? Should we repeat it? We take our time, if that makes sense. I'm not worried about the age at the front of the book.
So yeah, I'm just going. It's about making sure they've got that bedrock of skills, isn't it?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. It's just I obviously extend their learning because sometimes it's just one page of addition. I'm like, okay, then we'll just type up things. Or I then also use Twinkle and then print out addition worksheet or just do it myself. Yeah, I use Twinkle. I find that really useful. That's where I get my book review templates, all different types from. Yeah. But like I said, I'm sort of new at this. So those are the two main things I say I use at the moment. But I use the library a lot I think we've been known. Well, we are known by our local library now. Yeah, we use the library a lot. That's a good place to definitely use. Not just for borrowing books, but just also to do work. Does that make sense? So it's just changing the environment as well. So to do work, the mom I meet for the library group, which is a topic every fortnight, and we do a topic with the kids. So we're still doing ancient Egypt. We've done also human body, plants, that sort of thing, and we bring all the resources to the library, and they're very generous there as well. So we talk about it, have books and worksheets and stuff like that. So we use library, Twinkle, Bond Book. I use that's the main thing really.
What do you use to kind of I don't know, inspire yourself, like as a home ed parent? Is there anything that you use that you kind of use to, I don't know, keep your enthusiasm up? Do you know what I mean? Like,
to be honest with you, the kids inspire me a lot of the time. Sometimes they say things, I'm like, how did you learn that? They've read it in the book, or they'll ask me a question. I'm like, okay, I have to Google it because I have no clue. I really don't know what you're talking about. So a lot of the times, the things we learn are from the kids, or they literally go, "Mommy, can we learn about this? Or can we learn about that?" And sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm not ready for that because I have no clue. Let me do research and we can do it. So I get inspired by them a lot of the time. I also get inspired by other moms as well. And sometimes it might just be around what we're doing. So if we're traveling somewhere, maybe we can look and research about the place, learn about it. Or if something is happening like spring, the season, everything inspires us really. So spring is coming, there's a whole activity on spring or winter or Christmas and Easter. There's a lot of activity. So you just have to just be open-minded and you might get overwhelmed a little bit, but.
Yeah, definitely.
I start with what they're interested in and just sort of go from there.
Yeah, totally. So do you have any book recs, like either for kids themselves or read alouds or whatever?
To be honest with you, with the books, like I said, we read all sorts of books. They get lots of books from the library. But the ones they've been enjoying recently is my mom got them, it was her birthday recently, the Biff and Chip books, but now they are grown up. Because at school, they were reading the ones where they were little and young, so they're grown up now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, I know.
We've read some of the little ones, but not the...
I don't know where she got it from. It's like 10 books in there, and it's like from stage, I don't know, 9. It's like 3 stages in there. It's amazing.
Oh, cool.
And they love it because they know them from when they were in school. So they love those books. And also, I forgot to mention, Reading Owl is free online. There's lots of books on there. If you go to readingowl.co.uk, I think. And you can, there are ebooks on there. You can read it by yourself or you can press play. It gets read to you, which is amazing.
Cool. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Cool.
And that's free. And I got that information from when they were in school. So we still use it till now.
Yeah.
So they read lots of different books. But I love the Biff and Chips book because they read it without me telling them most of the time. And yeah, I love that when that happens. Not common.
That's excellent. Thank you very much. Do you want to talk about your free ebook, which I just read, and it's fantastic. It's a real like hand holder for new home educators.
Yeah, I wrote that when I started doing it, because in my mind, because I was so scared to do it in the first place, I thought when I start doing it, I'm just going to sort of write about my feelings, what's going through my mind, so that when other people are experiencing the same thing, maybe they shouldn't give up, basically. And, you know, you're not doing it wrong. It's unique to your family. So that book is, like I said, it's a quick read. It's to say, hey, I'm doing this. I have no clue what I'm doing, but here's my experience. Here's why I'm doing it. That's why I've just put it there. It's free. It's just to get people, even if you're not home educating, just to maybe get you a bit more hands-on with your children's education, because you don't want to leave it totally to the government. You want to be hands-on. Yeah. You need to know what's going on. You need to know how they're doing, how they feel. Are they happy, especially with mental health? So my book is just to say, you know what, be more hands-on. This is what my home ed experience was at the time, a few months into it, and I don't think I'm anything special. I'm just a regular mom. So if I can do it, you can do it if you really want to do it. So
I think what's so nice about writing it in that period is you can't go back to when you first started. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like even a year on,
you forget.
Yeah, totally. And so it's really, I think, as I say, particularly for new home educators, to have somebody who's actually kind of going through, you know, and has written down, like going through what your all the sort of hopes and fears and everything that you go through when you start this, I think it's a really lovely resource. How do people get hold of it?
Basically, you can find it via my blog, because every blog I write, I put a link to it, and sometimes my Instagram page, or if you DM me, I can send you a link to it as well. Yeah, it's just one of those things you think, wow, especially coming from my background, I don't know anyone who is Nigerian until recently that was doing it. That scared me, because we're very academic based, you know, and that was really scary. That's why I sort of had to convey my journey in the book so that people understand a little bit where I was coming from. But yeah, it's easy to get a hold of. If you go to my blog, flatlook.com, most of my blog posts has a link to my ebook.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes as well.
Oh, thank you.
Where can people find you?
Oh, yeah, my blog, again, like I said, www.floutlook.com. That's FLOUTLOOK.com. That's my blog. And my email as well is on my Instagram, which is flatlookblog. That's my Instagram, at flatlookblog. My email is there. You can email me, which is flatlookblog@gmail.com. I'm happy to, you know, I'm quite open, and I'm not gonna try and make it sound what it's not. I'm very open, honest. You can email me or DM me via Instagram. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a complete pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, Katie. It wasn't so bad in the end. We did well.
We got through.
I really enjoyed myself. Thank you.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast. This is episode 2. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts, as this helps more people find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrod. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else where podcasts are found. This is the second of 3 opening episodes, so if you enjoyed this one, please check out episodes 1 and 3, which are also available. I'll be back with episode 4 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more home ed adventures.